sometimes I just like to let the song ride.
It's a
good one. Because guess what? It's another Game Over Power Hour. We've had significantly more Game Over Power Hours than we've had regular Game Overs this year.
Yeah.
It's not even close. I'm starting to get used to this whole hour thing. It's not so bad. Maybe we'll find a way to make it a more permanent thing.
Maybe.
Probably not, though. That's just me talking about my butt. But anyway, speaking of butts, anyway, welcome to another Power Hour episode of Game Over. I am, of course, your hostess with the mostest, Simon Pazdur, and my faithful squad mates, Adam Pazdur and Matthew Menye. How are we doing, lads?
We are doing good.
Yeah.
I mean, at least I am. Can't speak for Adam.
Are you also doing good, Adam?
Yeah, more or less. We have this week off from university, as everyone knows, but still busy for me.
I mean, you guys have this week off. In fact, you guys have today off, but us federal government workers don't get the day off, even though every province has a holiday on it. I'm not salty at all that I had to get up this morning and drive through empty streets at 7 a.m.
I was very confused as to why you didn't have the day off.
Me too. You know what? Me too. It's just cruel. Anyway, you know what's not cruel? Well, actually, you know what is cruel? Let's start off with the cruelest bit of news this week, because unfortunately we do have some cruel news, and that is that Activision Blizzard laid off 800 people after posting record profits. Now, do you guys know any more about the story than this? Because I haven't done a ton of digging on it. I've looked at some Twitter posts by the people who were affected. A lot of it was like, you know, when I graduated, they were so sad. I saw a post that was like, I graduated college from like with graphic design. I was so happy to get a job with my dream company, Blizzard. I never expected to have to look for work again or something like that. Like, I thought that, or one other person was like, if I worked hard, did my best and did a great job at my job, I would never have to worry about getting fired. Well, today I did. Stuff like that. Yeah. Like, just,
well, I mean,
absolutely heartbreaking.
And while I feel bad for those people, that's also like, it's a bit selling it, because unfortunately the reality of the video game industry is that there is no such thing as job security. And that's not a good thing. That's not the way it should be, but it is the way that it is.
Mm-hmm.
So when I heard that Activision Blizzard laid off that many people, I was not entirely surprised, because the only company that seems to do that right is Nintendo. Where, you know, when things go wrong, it's the people at the top who took a pay cut, not the people at the bottom who got laid off.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what is sort of the big problem that people have with it. Like, if companies are doing poorly and they have to make cutbacks, like, it always sucks. But, like, you know, if the company's failing, it's understandable. That's just what you have to do.
Yeah.
But this was after they posted, like, huge numbers and, like, they're growing, but then, you know, fire off almost 1,000 people. So that's, like, it just makes it so much worse.
Yeah, and I have heard as to why, at least from what I know, it's basically over the last 5 years or so since they started introducing microtransactions, Activision Blizzard, as well as the other companies, have been growing at, like, ridiculous rates, unsustainable rates. And so even though this year they've made more money than ever before, the rate at which they were growing has finally started to come down. Because the micropayment market is, who knew, not infinite.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So basically that was it. One of my favorite internet people is fond of saying, they made a lot of money, but they did not make all the money. Mm-hmm. And thus not enough money.
Mm-hmm. Indeed.
And so that's where sort of the official line is that they disappointed the shareholders because they didn't continue the rate of growth, even though their profits were higher than ever before. But, that sucks. If you work for Activision Blizzard, then I feel for you. But also, don't work at Activision Blizzard.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, maybe they needed all that 800. Maybe this is going to be a cruel joke to make, but whatever. Maybe they needed the money from all those 800 jobs to pay for the creative director that they got from CD Projekt Red that they sniped over.
Or the new CFO they got, who had something like a $15 million signing bonus.
Yeah, ridiculous. You want to know how to make money? Put microtransactions in your games. You want to know how to make a lot of money? Make good games instead. And that's why Corey Barlog is just going to decorate his house purely with awards, it looks like, as another few video game award shows have happened by, and God of War just seems to be absolutely cleaning up. But so good news in some cases, bad news in other cases.
Yeah.
It is unfortunate.
It was a mixed week.
Yeah, it was, it was a bit of a mixed week. Now, before we keep moving on, Matt, you finally got a chance to play Monster Hunter World with Geralt in it.
I did, yeah.
At which you were worried about last week because you didn't have the game. Mm-hmm. So you've now reacquired the game.
I have reacquired the game.
And you played it, and it looks basically like someone took a quest out of The Witcher 3 and put it into Monster Hunter World, and I say that with the utmost respect, because that's
you
clearly
said
the way
a good
it was.
Thing.
Yeah, I say it's a good thing, because that's clearly the way it was designed, but how was the experience of playing with Geralt?
It was great. I'd say the taking a quest out of The Witcher and putting it into Monster Hunter, as someone who has not played The Witcher, feels pretty accurate. I also played a Final Fantasy quest, and it seems like they pretty much just try to make it feel like you're playing that game.
Yeah.
So, you know, aside from Geralt being in there with the original voice actor, you know, while you're doing that quest, it's all like The Witcher music. The HUD, like, fonts and everything, they are made to look like The Witcher.
Yeah, it looked exactly like the quest name was the same, the font was the same.
Yeah, they have the same sort of, like, style of conversations that you have with the NPCs, which I had to double-check that they were like that from The Witcher, because, again, I haven't played. I just got into it, and it's like, this seems like something new from Monster Hunter, and it's like, yep, that's because they're specifically making it like The Witcher, just like the Final Fantasy one. They make it like the conversations from Final Fantasy.
Yeah,
that's cool.
And yeah, so then you basically go through an investigation, like searching for clues, talking to people, gathering information to hunt down a Leshen, and then you fight the Leshen, and man, it is a cool fight.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm a fan of the Leshen. I was sort of, when they said that there was a Leshen and an ancient Leshen, or the two new creatures, I sort of assumed, as it is frequently with Monster Hunter, that the Leshen was sort of like a weak early game version, and then the ancient Leshen would be like sort of the actual one. The Leshen is very much a late game monster, and the ancient Leshen, I haven't gotten to it yet, but reading around online has been described as the most difficult hunt in the game.
Oh boy.
So no token
fight for Geralt.
Nope. It is tough. And actually same with the Final Fantasy one. It looks like because whenever they have an event going on, they bring back all the other events, so I'm able to play through the ones that I missed when I didn't have the game. The Final Fantasy one is like just as difficult. They're not making these like, you know, easy little token fights. Yeah, it's really cool. They get you got a new armor set, new like weapons that are all like straight from The Witcher, and, you know, a bunch of little like gestures and titles and sort of background stuff that's sort of, you know, cutesy little fun things.
Yeah.
But yeah, the quest is a ton of fun.
Good. Is it a ton of fun? Is it so much fun that you might consider dipping your toes back into The Witcher 3?
It made me want to play The Witcher. Like, honestly, even just walking around, like, listening to the music and, like, just hearing Geralt's voice and stuff like that, it honestly did make me more interested in playing The Witcher.
Yes. Excellent. Yeah. Even though I haven't played Monster Hunter World yet, it's definitely on the long list of things to must play.
Mm-hmm.
I adore that they did that, and not just with Geralt, but I mean, that's basically the video game version of doing a cover song. Yeah. And I kind of wish more games found a way to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean? Like, we were talking about Kingdom Hearts 3 last week, and we said that it had a whole bunch of levels, which very much felt like, okay, now you're in this genre, and obviously they had that permission from the Witcher 3 people to put Geralt in the game.
Mm-hmm.
But I really wish more games found a way to be like, hey, now you're doing this kind of stuff, and we're going to have all these nods to these games. Like, it just feels like a fun little thing to do. Monster Hunter seems to be basically the perfect series to do it.
Yeah, because there's not a lot of story to the games, so you can throw someone like Geralt in, no problem, and it, you know, it doesn't really like cause in-world problems with
that. Yeah,
thing.
It feels like there's a wink and a nod at the audience from everything I've seen in that game. Like, it feels like it's very meta. Like, it knows what it's trying to do. And
like Monster Hunter has always been kind of overtly silly.
Yeah.
Like, for example, right now it's, you know, around the 1-year anniversary of the release of the game, so they have Appreciation Fest going on.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, your quest givers all are wearing, like, giant cat costumes, and there's, like, fireworks going off everywhere. Like, it's very silly.
Yeah. Okay. Good.
But yeah, they, honestly, going back and doing all the other events, like, they seem to do a really, really good job of it. I saw a thing online yesterday where it's like, you can now team up with your friend playing as Ryu, Geralt, Ciri, and you can fight a behemoth from Final Fantasy with your cat sidekick dressed up as Mega Man.
Yeah. Like, that's everything I wished it could be. Yeah. That's basically the dream.
Yeah. It's been a ton of fun.
Yeah, good. Okay, so we do have a few more things, but there was a huge bit of Nintendo news that happened this past week. There was a Nintendo Direct. I have basically a giant list here of every headline, and if you've listened to our show multiple times, you'll probably know that there's one headline that's a bit more significant to us than the other ones, but it was ultimately a 35-minute Nintendo Direct. I watched pretty much all of it. I did get distracted a little bit because a lot of it felt very samey. But how much of the Direct did you guys watch, and what were your just overall impressions of it?
I watched most of it. Again, I was distracted by work that I was supposed to be doing at the same time.
Likewise.
Yeah. But yeah, I got through most of it. It was okay. Mm-hmm. There was, I think, an equal amount of exciting and disappointing stuff, but there was nothing really big that jumped out.
I would agree. Yeah. Mostly disappointment. Happy to finally get some Fire Emblem news, but mostly disappointment with what else we got. Mm-hmm. And I'm still very much on the fence of the Fire Emblem thing. Kind of reminds me of Assassin's Creed. I'll get to that in a second. But Adam,
I didn't get a chance to watch it.
Perfect. You didn't get any news in the Direct. So I'm just going to go through it and let me know if any of these headlines jump out at you. And full disclosure, even though I host a video game show, I haven't heard of half of this stuff, because a lot of it, like the first half of the Direct was basically like...
I mean, they do the smaller stuff.
Yeah, they just threw a whole bunch of really niche JRPGs at us, and I was like, man, this is hard to follow, because they look kind of similar, the art style might have been a little bit different, but for the most part, I was watching a Reddit thing that I just kept refreshing. And, you know, if people had heard of the game, they were happy that it got a follow-up or whatever it was.
Yeah, you know, everyone gets their little pet game.
Exactly, but for the most part, people weren't overly thrilled with everything. Look, there were a couple other crowd pleasers, though. The first one being Super Mario Maker 2 was confirmed. That's coming out. Mm-hmm. I don't know how much more they had to say off of Super Mario Maker 1.
Yeah, what's the point in the
apparently slopes are a big deal for this one.
Yeah, so if that's... I mean, I've seen people make some crazy stuff, so I'm sure people will make more crazy stuff.
Mm-hmm. I'm glad it's on the Switch.
Yeah.
I look forward to the new game theory on how many things you can make in this one.
Yeah.
It'll be a bigger number.
It's weird. I'm, like, excited that it exists, and yet I probably won't ever touch it.
Yeah.
No, yeah, I'm the same. It's not something I'm interested in playing myself, but I think it's really cool, and I'm glad that it's coming out.
Sort of like Labo.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, this glad is
exists,
great
for
someone
for
else.
Yeah. Precisely.
Then it felt like we were in a time capsule because we saw Marvel Ultimate Alliance 3, The Black Order, which is a Switch exclusive, which is just strange.
What?
And they showed up, they had a trailer, and they had capped the Marvel gameplay. Now, if you haven't seen the trailer, like I assume Adam hasn't, and I don't know if Matt saw that part, but if you've seen Marvel Ultimate Alliance or X-Men Legends or whatever it was before, like maybe you got it when you got it, whatever you're picturing in your head, that's exactly what it was. With just slightly updated graphics. Yep. But, you know, the characters all look a little different than they did in the movies, but still they're clearly cashing in on this new wave. I mean, I don't think that game necessarily needs to be good to sell well. That's like they have that game coming out. It's exclusive to the Switch. It's coming out. Endgame's coming out. Everyone's going to be talking about it, especially with Captain Marvel coming out and Endgame. It's got Captain Marvel in there. It's, you know, they know their audience.
Yeah.
It's not us. Because we probably are only going to be interested in more the hardcore games. That's why we all bought Spider-Man.
Yeah.
But this is a different audience. I think they marketed to that audience. And it was actually probably pretty smart to make it a Switch exclusive. Because it's like, hey, the hardcore audience that have the PS4s and the Xbox Ones, they probably weren't going to buy this anyway. Let's just double down on the Switch and make sure we're getting like the 10 to 15-year-olds addicted to this thing.
Yeah.
Probably pretty smart. Did you guys have any... Well, I mean, Adam and I... You and I played a little bit of Marvel Ultimate Alliance back in the day.
Yes, a very little bit.
Yeah.
And like this, of course, it's a cash-in for Captain Marvel. And there's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
No, it's well-timed, well-marketed.
Yeah. Not going to touch it.
It looks... I mean, the game looks good. It's not that I have no interest in it. But yeah, it's, you know, for someone else.
Exactly.
But it makes sense.
Okay. Now we get to... Or I guess there was... I'm going out of order here, but there was a Smash 3 they announced that the update was going to be in the spring. And then they're going to have more detail on the Joker DLC. We didn't actually get to see any Joker gameplay, which I think people were kind of hoping for.
No, I was so frustrated by this announcement.
Yeah.
They're like, and here's like Smash 3.0, new update coming soon. I bet you want to know what's in it, but you'll find out later.
Yeah, so it was an update that there will be an update.
Yeah.
And I saw a lot of people got excited about that. I'm like, why? Like, you knew there would be an update. What the only thing that I thought that was interesting, I didn't really see a lot of other people commenting on it, was they said... they definitely in this trailer it said Fighter Pack 1.
Yeah.
And I don't remember the 1 being attached to that Fighter Pack ever before.
Which implies there will be more.
Right, why would
well,
you
they
have
said there's going to be 5.
Oh.
5 fighters in the pack. I thought. Right? I believe, like, you... Because I bought whatever it was.
Right.
And I was pretty sure that I bought the Fighter Pack. Well, maybe I got the pass. Who knows? So maybe you get, like, 3 and 2. Is that what you're thinking?
No, I believe it's... There's 5 that each come with 1 character. And then some other stuff, like music tracks and
other things. Okay, so that might be it.
I believe that's how it's working.
I got pretty excited, because I was like, please, God, release... Or not God, I mean, what's his name? Not Miyazaki, the other one. Although they're both pretty close. The Smash Bros. Guy.
I can picture his face. I can't.
Someone help me out here. Wow, this is Sakurai.
Sakurai.
Please go ahead, Sakurai. Oh. I mean, basically the same thing, like I said.
Yeah.
Please release more than 5 characters. I know it must be a nightmare to balance like 95 characters, but do it. You know, we're not going to be satisfied with just the 5. We always want more.
I'll give you all the money.
Yeah.
Although, he doesn't want the money. He wants to stop.
Yeah.
That's true.
We knew that 3 games ago. He doesn't want the money. He wants to stop.
We've hit his saturation point for money. Whatever it is, he just wants out.
Yeah.
So, you know, hopefully he's got a protege waiting in the wings. Although it was kind of ironic, and I'm going to jump ahead a little bit and just reveal a funny comment I saw about Fire Emblem Three Houses, the trailer. And because it got very Persona, people were making like pretty overt Persona comparisons with Fire Emblem. And they said it's kind of ironic that the Fire Emblem representative we were going to see in Smash, the new one from the new Fire Emblem game, is going to be Joker. Because it's basically Persona.
Yeah.
I was like, brutal. All right, so Captain Toad Treasure... Wow.
Let's
give that one a shot. Captain Toad Treasure Tracker... The Human Torch could not get a bank loan. There we go. That's from Anger Man, by the way. Old reference, I get it. Captain Toad Treasure Tracker free update later today. So, I mean, this is backdated, but if you're missing it, there you go. 2-player co-op and paid DLC from the Horizon. On the Horizon with 18 challenges on 5 courses. I haven't played Captain Toad Treasure Tracker. I want to. It's one of those bargain game things. Whenever I go to get crickets for my lizards, there's an EB Games right next to it. And I always pop in there and just sift through the bargain bins. I'm like, what can I get on sale today? So someday, Captain Toad will probably
be in there. It looks like a cute game.
But that was another thing that people were like, oh my god, I love Captain Toad! And then, sure. Now we're getting into some of the stuff I didn't particularly understand. Bloodstained Ritual of the Night. Again, heard of it. Looked like sort of Castlevania-ish thing. It's going to come in summer 2019. DQ Builders 2 is going to release July 12th.
No idea what that is.
You guys play DQ Builders 1?
Not a clue.
I don't want to make fun of this. There's probably someone out there who has, but they filled it with filler.
Yeah.
Speaking of DQ, DQ XIS, Echoes of an Elusive Age, coming to Switch this fall. These were like the JRPGs that I had no idea about. Something that I never thought would happen, the Disney Tsum Tsum game, Disney Tsum Tsum Festival, is coming in 2019. You know those little things that you can buy with like the Disney characters that look like a little, look like you took the Disney character and crushed it into like a little pillow?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Those things.
Oh.
They're getting a game for some reason.
Okay.
And it's coming this year.
Sure.
Sort of cutesy party game Disney style?
Yes.
Looks like.
Somewhere out there, a parent will unfortunately have to buy that, but for the rest of us, we don't particularly care. Starlink Battle for Atlas coming spring. Looked kind of interesting. Who knows? This actually got a lot of people's attention online that I saw. Rune Factory, a remastered version of Rune Factory 4 specials coming, and they announced that Rune Factory 5 is coming out. I've never heard of this game, Rune Factory.
Nope, that's new to me.
But this is the thing that I saw the biggest flip out for online.
So somebody cares.
A lot of somebody cares. Yeah, so maybe this one will put it more on the map. For the rest of us, who knows? Oninaki is Tokyo... Okay, let me try this again. Oninaki is the Tokyo RPG Factory's next project. There you go.
Okay.
Excuse me. If you played their games, you should be excited about that. Yoshi's Crafted World.
Yoshi's Woolly World.
Exactly. They're very cute. It's coming March 29th, coming soon. I'll get to more detail. We're going to cover Fire Emblem Three Houses in more detail in a second. Tetris 99 is a Battle Royale Tetris game. And it's free to play and available to download right now. So if you want to play Tetris with someone annoying you, go for it.
It's a weird enough idea. I think it might be cool.
Yeah, I actually, like, I was listening to a couple podcasts. People seem to enjoy it, that have played it.
Mm-hmm.
People who are paid to play games. One day, maybe that'll be us. But for the time being, we have to pick and choose our time very carefully. Let's see here. Dead by Daylight will be ported to Switch this fall. People are excited.
I've heard
about
of that one.
Cool.
Yep.
New Deltarune experiences for those fans who have beaten Undertale. I'm sure Undertale has a lot of fans out there.
I gotta say, I loved the trailer for that one.
Yeah.
It was so funny. It was really cute. Just yeah. dogs everywhere. Like, they basically censored everything that they didn't want to reveal with, like, 2D dogs. And then they're like, you know, spoiler or whatever, like, there will not be this many dogs in the actual game. Like, blah, blah, blah. Like, everything was just covered up with dogs. The trailer was basically a joke, but it was really funny.
Well, that's what's got to do. Just got to get people excited. Doesn't matter how they do it. A demo for Daemon X Machina is live today. And again, this is all backdated to last week. Full game coming this summer. Grid Autosport is a new racing game coming in the summer. Hellblade Senua's Sacrifice will be ported to the Switch this spring. This was a weird one, but probably the biggest news for Adam. Mortal Kombat 11 is coming to the Switch April 23rd.
Ooh.
I'm actually not sure if that's the release date for the rest of it. I would assume
it
close,
is, though. Yeah. Yeah, it is.
Yeah, it is, yeah. There you go. Unravel 2 is coming to the Switch March 22nd. These are just all the ports. Assassin's Creed 3 Remastered, which you're talking about being rumored last week, is confirmed. It's coming to the Switch May 21st. There's a Final Fantasy 7 port that's going to come out March 26th. Also, Chocobo's Mystery Dungeon Everybody will be released March 20th.
The big one that everyone's been waiting for.
Everybody spelled, not everybody, everybody, two words. Everybody. So there you go. If you're and they had another Final Fantasy IX released on Switch today. Astral Chain, a new title, Blum to the Platinum Developers people, is coming out August 30th. And last but not least, the one that kind of took me the most by surprise, and I think for people who aren't Fire Emblem fans, going to be the biggest takeaway: The Legend of Zelda: Link's Awakening getting a remake this year, and it looks really good. It, like, the graphics have gotten a total update. I thought, oh my god, is this going to be Wind Waker? Because the sound kind of sounded very similar, and you're looking at an island. But nope, it's Link's Awakening, and I've never played that Zelda game. This one looks really cool. I love, love the new graphic design.
Oh, I do too. Online, it looks like it's a little divisive.
Yeah.
It's definitely been kitted up. Everything sort of looks like they're Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, like old, like, stop-motion animation style. I think it looks really cool, and I'm excited for it because I've never played Link's Awakening either.
Yeah,
well,
so it'd be nice to get a new shot at it.
25 years old.
Yeah, it is really old.
Mm-hmm. Although I discovered when I was watching the trailer, and same thing as you, I thought, oh, maybe this is Wind Waker. I learned while I was watching the trailer that apparently I really want a Wind Waker port to Switch.
That's all we really want.
I mean, played it, adored it in what, like 2002 on the GameCube, got it for Wii U. When we got the Wii U, played it, adored it even more because it had the shortcuts. And yeah, I'd play that game again. That's one of the greatest Zelda games.
Yeah, I know they already ported it, but if they could port it again, that would be great.
Just do it. Just do it.
Yeah,
I don't care how you do it. Just do it. Okay, so the biggest headline there was, of course, Fire Emblem Three Houses. Now we're gonna take a little break here. It's actually gonna be super short because I had to blow an extra commercial at the beginning of the show. Whoops. So we're just going to take a quick 15-second break, and when we return, we're going to be going through... we're going to be taking a 45-second break here. Perfect. We're going to be going through Fire Emblem Three Houses, the trailer, which is about 5 minutes long, so if you want to take the next 45 seconds, if you're at home on your computers, cue it up, get ready to go. We're going to be pausing and starting, and we're going to be going through and trying to analyze the trailer in real time. So we'll be right back. Again, Game Over Power Hour. We'll see you guys in 45 seconds. And we're back in slow motion, apparently. No. We're back in regular time, and we're back to analyze a Fire Emblem Three Houses trailer. Now, this is about 5 minutes long. So, by the way, we are indeed planning to talk about Apex Legends. So if people out there are like, why haven't they talked about it? It's the greatest game. It's the Fortnite killer. We are indeed planning to talk about it, but since we've talked extensively about Fire Emblem, it's going to be first on our docket, especially because we haven't had any news about it in so long.
Yeah.
And this is the only major bit of news. And Nintendo even announced before the Direct that this was going to be the main focus of the Direct. And then it wasn't very long, didn't reveal that much. And I kind of felt disappointed, as is the Fire Emblem subreddit. But Actually, before we get into it and actually analyze what happened on, what did you guys just think, general thoughts about the trailer?
Well, I haven't seen it yet. So
you haven't seen it yet?
No.
Oh, wow.
I didn't watch the direct, so I'm coming into this fresh.
You're going to be real fresh for Adam. Matt, what did you think about it?
It had me interested, but nervous.
Yeah. I think that's a good way of putting it. It kind of reminded me, this is what I said at the beginning, of Assassin's Creed Odyssey, in that it's clearly gone in a very different direction from the rest of the Fire Emblems. Mm-hmm. You could probably chart that direction with the last couple games, particularly Fates.
Now I'm worried.
Yeah. But I think I'll like that direction. But the problem is it clearly comes at the cost of regular Fire Emblem.
Right.
So we'll get into it. And like the people who are looking back at, say, Path of Radiance, and it's like, this is just a legitimate war story. Right? That's what a lot of people like the early Fire Emblem games for, and they've moved away from that as it got into more like waifu stuff and anime stuff. This is definitely not a more hardcore war story. I think there's a lot of really cool stuff in here, but if you want hardcore, like that kind of thing,
yeah,
might be a rough ride for you. So if Adam's more in that train, we'll see. But we're going to start it up here.
Okay.
So I've got the I got the sound on. And we're going to play. So I'll tell you guys when to pause, and I'll tell the people out there when to pause, when I pause, and then we'll discuss what we've seen. But we're going to have to kind of go through this frame by frame with sound. Ready?
Yeah.
Here we go. 3, 2, 1, go.
Oh, my. What could have brought you here?
Let's pause right there.
Okay.
So
I feel like I'm a touch ahead of you. Where are you?
I'm 15 seconds in.
Oh, I realize what the problem is.
You were playing the
You're playing on fast speed.
I was playing it on double speed because I was trying... That was when I was trying to catch up to the Link's Awakening thing, which, by the way, looks ridiculous in my opinion. I don't like that style at all.
Okay, well,
I think it looks ridiculous in a fun way.
Yeah, I think they know that's okay. Well, you catch up to the 15-second mark here.
Okay, we're good.
They know that the hardcore Zelda is going to be the hardcore and it's going to look a certain way. But if you're just remaking something, it doesn't make sense to make it look exactly like Breath of the Wild.
That's true.
And Wind Waker, we just talked about how much we love it. Go stylized. Anyway, so we saw this girl sleeping on a statue in the first trailer.
Yeah.
That's the way they ended the first trailer. And it's also the way they begin the second trailer with her kind of waking up from that.
They made one trailer and they cut it in half.
Basically. Now, we're about to learn who she is, but I wanted to say that in case people were like, what the heck did we just hear? But it's the girl with the green hair, which probably means she's a dragon, because between the green hair and the ears, just seems to be that way. But let's continue. All right, 3, 2, 1, go.
Oh, fire up three houses.
Oh, so that's what it's called.
Yeah. All right, you know what? Let's pause one more time here. So they're about to go through the continent. I'm kind of excited because this is a very detailed map.
Yes, it is.
And I'm thinking it's like, what's it called? Chekhov's gun?
Yeah.
You don't show a gun if you're not going to use it?
Yes. If you show something in the first
you
act,
don't
you better
design this much of a map if you're not going to go all over it.
Mm-hmm.
So I think people are worried that eventually we're going to find that you're kind of in a school, a Hogwarts-y type school in the middle. But clearly you're going to go all over the map because, like, this is pretty detailed.
Yeah. And even as we see as it goes on, they dwell on it, too. It's not just a one-off shot of a cool map.
Yeah.
Even if we don't go to the more grayed out ones in the corners, that's still a lot on the main map itself.
Yeah, exactly, for sure. Okay, let's keep going here.
A Fodlan, said to be protected by a revered goddess, has existed since time immemorial. Three ruling powers now control the land.
This guy is thrilled with his narration.
In the south lies a region long held by a more than 1,000-year-old dynasty, the Adrestian Empire. Beyond its borders, to the frigid north, is
that
the home
the
of the holy
north.
Kingdom of Fargus, ruled by the
that's
royal
how,
family and its knights.
That's how it works.
To the east, a league of nobles that heeds no king nor emperor rules what is called the Lester Alliance.
I would never, sorry to interrupt you there, or sorry to make you pause it on the spot there, I would never have seen that word and thought to pronounce it Lester.
That's, well, that's a real word.
British.
It is actually a real word.
Yeah. No. I knew that was pronounced Leicester because I occasionally follow English football, mm-hmm. and I've seen that word before.
Wow.
Yeah. Leicester, home of the greatest sports story ever.
Really?
Yeah, well, they were like a second, third tier team that went and won the FA Cup.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
I remember that. I had only heard it on the radio. I never actually saw it written. Yeah. So I just thought it was spelled normal.
It was really interesting when that was written. Like, when I saw it on the map when it was first coming up, and I'm like, how are they going to pronounce that? No, they got it right.
They got it right. There you go. Good for them. Okay, so I'm a minute and 1 second in.
Yep, me
too. We're going to continue here. 3, 2, 1, go.
Once consumed by a tempest of war and turmoil, Fodlan and these three mighty powers now exist in relative
harmony. Oh, that Southern
harmony.
Kingdom is huge.
It is. Relative harmony, I'm sure that'll continue.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
In the Fire Emblem Three Houses game, you are the hero the world needs.
So, I'll pause it again there, 121. I don't think it's actually stated in this direct, but it's been revealed somewhere that your character's name is Byleth. Which is interesting. Okay. So that goes both male and female. And these designs have gotten some criticism. So the male design, I think, looks pretty reasonable.
Yeah.
And one of my favorite things, I was explaining this to my girlfriend this past week, too. One of my favorite things about Fire Emblem growing up, as I was first getting into it, is how unbelievably reasonable all the costumes were for the females.
Yeah.
They seemed very normal for warriors to be dressed up that way. And the few characters they had who were dressed more provocatively, there was usually a reason for it.
Like the dragons?
Exactly. If you look at female Byleth here, which is where I'm paused, you got midriff, you got short shorts, you got like rip tights, you got it just doesn't...
You wouldn't wear that into battle.
Yeah.
It's very anime girl.
It's very anime girl, especially because male Byleth looks so not like that.
Yeah.
So that's the first thing that's got criticism, and I would agree with that criticism, actually. I prefer if she had been more matched with the way he looks. Because, like, female Robin is dressed the same way male Robin
exactly, is. Dressed the same way.
Why would they change that? I have no idea.
The only thing I can think of, and this would be... I'm certain it's not what they did, but it would be interesting if they did do it, is if you had different roles depending on whether you picked male or female. Like, if being a male sort of locked you into a more sword and front-liney sort of thing, and the girl was more... backliney and support and magic.
You mean we just had with Ulm and Celica in Fire Emblem Shadows over Echo Shadows over Valentia?
Yeah. Something like that.
I don't think they would do that twice. That's maybe a possibility, but considering, I mean, you haven't seen it. There's a fair amount of customization coming on, but yeah, I think we can all agree. Maybe a bit of a miss on the female design there.
Yeah.
The design itself is fine. It just doesn't really fit.
Agreed.
Yeah.
That's a good way of putting it. Yeah. Okay, let's move on. Here we go.
Now we're in a fort.
You start out as a mercenary, traveling with a group led...
Okay, we're going to pause again. Whoops. I didn't mean to pause again so quickly. But these are pre-render cutscenes.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
So there was a little bit of debate online. People were like, well, maybe it's going with the in-game engine. No chance. This doesn't look like it's with the in-game engine at all.
No.
And that's ironic that your dad's name, as we'll find out in a second, is named Gerald, which I just corrected after saying last week. But you can see in the background... Byleth walking in the in-game cutscene. So this has led people to think that you won't be able to customize your character because they probably have the cutscenes for male and the cutscenes for female.
Right.
And they're just interchanged between whatever you have.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But they're also walking hand in hand with, as we already know from the previous trailer, the main people from each house.
Hence the three colors.
Yeah. So clearly, even though there's going to be war at some point because it's a war game,
yeah.
Clearly they seem to get along. Anyway, I'm at 124. We're going to continue here.
At least for now.
By your father, Geralt.
There it is.
After an unexpected incident reveals an unknown power hidden within, you'll travel to Garrick Mach Monastery, where you'll receive an offer to teach at the Officer's Academy.
And your professor. Begin the first of the Harry Potter parallels. We always wanted a good Harry Potter game. We just didn't know that it would be Fire Emblem.
Okay.
So first of all, I hate the way they phrase that. You're just wandering around living your life with your dad, and then you discover an unknown power. Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Could you be more cliche?
I'm hoping it's just kind of a trailerism.
Yeah.
And it's not really in the game like that.
Yeah, because that's pretty cheesy anime stuff.
Yeah.
Okay, well, let's keep moving on.
Around that same time, you alone begin to see a mysterious girl named Sothis, who
the girl
appears
we heard talking.
Within your mind.
Well, she's not creepy at all.
The monastery and the three houses.
I kind of like her character design.
Garrick Mach Monastery lies at the center of three large
because
territories.
Of course it does.
It is the home base of the Church of Saros,
I'm
the
sure
main
they won't
religion
be evil.
Of Fodlan. as well as the Knights of Saros. Not only does the church serve to maintain order in Fodlan, its monastery also houses the Officers' Academy. Those who train there will go on to shoulder the future of Fodlan.
All right, we'll pause it right there. I'm at 214. This looks super duper Harry Potter.
Wow.
Oh, yeah. Even just down to the design of the castle.
100%.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Like, this, the scene that we're paused on now in the classroom is so Harry Potter.
You could easily replace that teacher with McGonagall.
And I would,
and nothing
I
would look out of place.
Yeah,
if they were wearing colored robes.
Yeah.
You basically wouldn't be able to tell. In fact, like, they seem to have the designs of their houses, so to speak, on their backs.
Yeah.
So they basically are.
Yeah.
And the comparisons, like, people have been joking, oh, Slytherin, I guess, is going to be DLC, you know, like that kind of stuff, because you have the three houses that seem to fit. Or you have the three
kingdoms.
Yeah. They're called three houses. Yeah. So I guess they're
three houses.
They're not even hiding the comparison.
Yeah. Well, they're like noble families, like the house of whatever.
Exactly. So yeah, you're gonna be an officer who trains people in the academy in the middle of the world where people don't fight, but also it's both the home of science and religion. Calling it right now, that religion's gonna be evil.
I mean,
guaranteed.
They're like religious head in charge of keeping order and the military.
Evil.
So
every time.
What could go wrong?
Even if one of the factions is literally called the Empire.
That never puts
well.
Somehow
these guys seem like they're going to be the bad guys.
Yeah, I agree. This is one of the things that divided people. I kind of like the idea of even if they say it's a peace, even if it's an uneasy peace, I don't mind the idea of you come to this neutral territory to learn. There's no fighting here. We all have to get along. You come here to learn, not to fight. So even if like the commoners kind of hate each other, I don't mind the idea of there being like this centralized thing where it's just like we're all going to get together for university. What do you guys think?
I think that's a good idea, and I think it's interesting. I really want to know what the gameplay is.
Oh, we'll get there. Matt, what do you think about the university idea?
I kind of like it, actually.
Yeah.
And I prefer, if you're going to do the school thing, to actually be on the teacher side of it.
Yeah.
Because I think we've seen the student side of it a lot, but I don't think I've ever played as a teacher.
Me neither. I'm kind of curious. This is what I was talking about. It's definitely not the old Fire Emblem, and yet I don't mind what it's becoming.
Yeah.
But we'll see. All right, we're going to move on.
The Officer's Academy is comprised of three houses.
It just looks like Gryffindor, Ravenclaw, and Hufflepuff.
The Black Eagles is for students from the Adrestian Empire, including the house leader and future emperor, Edelgard.
Not future emperor.
So it's Germany, basically.
Yeah, Prince Dimitri of the Holy Kingdom of Fargus as its house leader. This house is for students from his kingdom.
So Scandinavia.
The Golden Deer is for students from the Leicester Alliance. Their house leader is Claude, who is the heir of the noble family that leads the alliance.
Now, wait a minute.
Yeah, we'll
Didn't they just say that that Leicester doesn't have a ruler?
Yeah, they don't have a ruler, so maybe he's like
well,
the
they said
president-elect
he's
or something like that.
The heir to the family that leads.
Yeah, so maybe
that sounds an awful lot like a ruler to me.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it might not be a hereditary thing.
Yeah.
He's the heir to the family, but it doesn't necessarily mean that family will always
maybe
be the ruling family.
Definitely going to be some sort of finagling there. That's kind of interesting. It's interesting just geographically that, I mean, what's his name here? Claude has gotten a lot of love online because of the way he looks.
Yeah.
He's very much, I don't say this in a negative way, he's a diversity inclusion. There's a whole bunch of people saying, oh, Claude's clearly a gay character, he's a person of color, he's got a little bit of style. People love him. And I'm not saying that as like a negative thing, but people seem to actually be glomming on to Claude. I'm a little bit confused that he's not the kingdom in the south. Because if you just look at geographically, he's very close to Dimitri, who is the whitest man I've ever seen.
Yeah.
So, like, does the climate 50 meters over here dramatically change?
I guess.
Do you know what I mean? Like, the north is still the cold area, so shouldn't...
So it is still the northern hemisphere.
It might not even be a climate thing, just a...
It could be. Yeah, who knows? Maybe
a human geography thing.
Yeah. I'm interested to see if they address that in any way. That just mean just mildly being curious about that kind of stuff. I doubt it, too.
Yeah.
But you know what? I was actually playing... on my last playthrough of, like, The Path of Radiance, there's really not a lot of inclusion of... Like, there's a lot of diversity of hair color, but there's really no diversity other than that.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no real reason for it. There's, like, people who live in this part, there's people who live in this part, there's people who live in the mountain, people who live in the desert, people who live by the sea. They all look the exact same. And even if you like your games to look the exact same, because you're one of those people for some weird reason, it's just not realistic. You travel around the world, people look different. I like it.
I think it's a bit of a Japanese thing.
I think
to just not really have that, because Japan is not exactly diverse.
No.
That tends to bleed into their games. But so if
they're
nice to see.
If they're designing something that's supposed to be like a fake version of Europe, then it should be more
European
representative of that. Yeah, I agree. All right, let's keep moving on.
As a professor, you will lead the students of one of these.
Let's pause it again right there. 2:51. I know that's been like 3 seconds since the last time we paused it. So it's interesting. You are actually kind of professing in this scene here.
Yeah.
It looks like you're talking to two students after class. There's clearly a student in the background being a very much an NPC and waiting around for you to talk to them. That's what it looks like to me, the blonde girl in the back. And then there's another person who's studying.
Yeah.
And then you have people come up to you. I don't know if there's going to be like conversations, or is this just the way they do supports? Yeah. I don't know. Are you going to have choices? They haven't shown that in this game. Mm-hmm. Does your character talk? They probably do, because most Fire Emblem protagonists talk.
Yeah,
but we've never had choice before.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how much actual teaching you do.
Yeah.
Because it's an interesting spot to put a player in an instructor role when the player doesn't necessarily know what they're teaching.
Exactly.
Like, there's probably not a lot of actual military officers who will be playing this character teaching at a military officer school.
No.
Yeah. There's a reason Harry Potter games cast you as a student.
Yes. I'm really looking forward to seeing exactly how you actually do your teaching.
Yeah, I agree. And you can see at the bottom there, this is just a couple little things. You have the log if you press ZL. It looks like, it's hard to tell because that's what the YouTube buttons are. Is that auto language? Auto A language? I think it's like auto take you through the conversation thing.
Oh,
I believe in the bottom corner. The bottom right.
Oh, is that a log?
Yeah, and the one next to it is auto something.
Auto advanced.
I think, it might be auto advanced.
Oh, yes. We're just sort of fast forward through the conversation.
Yeah, so that would imply the conversation is predetermined.
Yeah.
Not so sure about
it. It could be an auto advance until your next
choice.
Your next prompt.
That's
I've seen that in
visual
before.
Novels and things like that. Yeah.
That could be. Right, we'll
fast forward until I have to make a decision.
Exactly.
Yeah.
We'll keep moving on here.
Houses and instruct them. In addition to the house leaders, there are many other students to meet, each with their own unique personalities and skills.
And,
which house
that man
will
needs
you choose?
A new shirt.
Yeah. All right, we'll pause it again. So you just got to see a bunch of different students. So the theory is that basically you're going to have to kind of like choose a house to align to, and that you're going to get to play with the students from that house, which made people worried. I'm like, oh my God, are they going to sell us three different games? Like one game for one empire?
Yeah.
I didn't get that impression at all. But people were worried about that with Fates. I think people are basically just feeling burned from Fates.
Yeah.
And I think that's sort of Fates-esque. They're like, hold up.
I think it's a reasonable worry when the last one was like two things and then they announce the next one and it's like three.
Yeah, exactly.
Four things.
Yeah.
Maybe if we add more things, it'll be good.
That's the key. All right, we'll keep moving. Train and battle. This is where it starts to really get different.
Okay.
Not that it wasn't
students
different before.
Are expected to travel to
that's the Persona
lands,
shot right there.
Sometimes with the Knights of Saros themselves, and gain real battle experience, including everything from defeating bandits to suppressing rebellions.
Okay, let's pause at 3:23. We're getting a look at the maps. They pretty much look the way I'd expect a 3D Fire Emblem to go.
Yeah.
But you can see in the top that you're in a flat land with no terrain effects here.
Yeah.
And in a second here, we're just looking at Bernadetta, who's about to use her bow. And you will see that, I forget what the tactics? We're going to see the word in a second. But those are returning from Fire Emblem Echoes. So she's going to use a curved shot, which does something. It's not totally clear. But battle is a little bit more intuitive this time, so let's keep moving.
Okay.
These may be class assignments,
arts,
but the stakes in each battle are very real. Whether your students live or die will depend on your leadership. Strategize as the battle progresses to claim victory. One more success. At the officer's academy.
All right, we'll pause it back again. Did you notice that you're... I'm going to go back a second here. I'll tell you where I am in the play in this. But we're going to look at Petra here leveling up. Okay, so there's a whole bunch of stuff that we can get from this level up screen. So first of all, until next professor level.
Yeah.
What the heck is that?
I assume that's our level.
That's us?
Yeah, so when they level up, we level up.
So are we working on the sword? She's working on the sword? We're getting better at teaching the sword the more students use the sword?
That would be my guess.
What's the flag then? What do you think that is? That's an E. Command?
That's a good... yeah, that's probably just general leadership, maybe.
Yeah, like combat and leadership or something like that. That's what I was sort of thinking.
But I think that's what it is. We get experience through our students.
So she, and then at the bottom here, we can see a nice little 2D sprite. That's a nice, cute little addition. Mm-hmm. So she's going to level up until she masters this class. Does that just mean, like, the equivalent of get to level 20 before you reclass?
Maybe.
Probably.
That's my bet. And at the bottom, we were suspecting this before, but it looks like you control a battalion. Yeah. So each of your people has a little battalion with them. So when they attack, your archer has a bunch of archers with them. Your, you know, your sword person here has a bunch of sword people with them. Yeah. I wonder if you can mix and match.
And then it says...
This is going to be different options.
But the phrasing is interesting. Until class is mastered.
Yeah. And, it's strange. I also, I'm interested in the word remaining at the bottom with the Empire Infantry. Like, I wonder if you can actually lose...
people. You only have 100 right, you have 100 right now, and then...
Yeah, I wonder if that's going to be a thing. I have no idea. It's kind of vague, but it's just showing you that there seems to be a lot under the hood of this game.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's going to be very different.
Interesting.
All right, ready to move on? I'm at 338.
Now so am I.
Perfect. All right, here we go.
Oh yeah, you lost 15 people. It went down
Academy,
to 85.
Your students will work diligently.
So these two are just straight up training.
So they may wield a variety of weapons.
All right, let's pause
lesson
here.
Lesson plan. Hello.
So... Again, welcome to the Harry Potter game, Fire Emblem style.
Yeah.
So you can either choose to tutor people automatically. It looks like you have one remaining of those.
No. You have three. It's at the top of the screen. You have three training points. You can spend one to tutor, or you can spend all of them to auto-tutor.
Auto-tutor, that's right. That makes more sense.
Yeah.
Very good there. So first of all, I kind of like this 3D environment. It feels very Hogwarts.
I feel like there should be more students in here.
Yeah, maybe you're just not a very popular professor.
Could be a study hall type thing as opposed to an actual
class.
Nobody
likes me.
That's true. And you don't have a chair. You just kind of are standing behind the desk posing with a goblet.
Speaking as someone who actually does teach, you have a chair.
You don't have a chair, but okay. It doesn't look like they're paying a lot of attention to you, all three of them.
Yeah, that's realistic too.
Hopefully it's not an actual class and you're not doing your lesson plan in the class.
Yeah.
All right, so, but I like the options here. So, as you said, there's tutoring, which I would think that means helping train or level up or something.
Yeah.
Auto do it. Group task, maybe you get everyone to work on something specific.
Yeah.
And then set goals. I'm just wondering.
That's interesting.
That's interesting. And then start the class. So, it looks like actually teaching is going to be a thing.
Yeah. Like maybe tutoring, sounds like more one-on-one. So, maybe you spend a little time instead of teaching to the class as a whole, trying to get a specific person to go a certain way.
You can maybe like help people towards new abilities or level ups and stuff like that.
And I assume set goals. Like that makes me think more of like the NHL thing where it's like this is what I want to focus on training. So
Yeah,
like
work towards this.
Yeah.
Do X and then you'll get Y effect kind of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It'll be interesting where it goes.
Well, color me intrigued.
Let's keep going.
Whoa.
And let's pause right here again. Okay, so...
Made it a whole 1 second that time.
This is the reason we didn't just make notes that we're actually going through the trailer, because my goodness, this is a dense trailer, and we only have about 10 minutes left. So hopefully we can get through the last minute and a half of the trailer. So it looks like... This is what's really blowing people's minds, and this is probably the most divisive thing in the trailer. Do you remember... I don't know if Matt played it too. Fire Emblem Echoes, Shadows Over Valentia. Valentia, is that the one?
Valentina? I think that's right.
I think so.
And not Valentina, because that's the hot sauce. Right.
Yeah.
You started off with three characters who were villagers, and then when they promoted, you could choose what they promoted to.
I don't remember this.
That was the baby version of this. It looks like... I think classes are still a thing, because you do see people who are...
Swordsmen and whatever.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But it looks like if you want someone to focus on something, you have to actually train in this. So I don't know what that bottom one is still... But we have, it looks like they've split in between light and dark magic, because you see later it's called like holy and reason.
Yeah.
You see that on another screen. But swords, lances, axes, bows, for the first time on Legu's character, fists.
Yeah,
you can actually punch somebody.
I want to punch a dragon to death.
Yeah,
hell yes. It looks like all that kind of stuff is in here. So So yeah, you can see in the side there, she's studying reason.
I was really hoping that they'd like scroll down to the other. I have to go back a bit because I was really hoping they'd actually highlight one of the other things. Because the blue arrows mean strengths, so she's naturally good at that.
She's naturally reason and swords, yeah.
I'm guessing the red arrows mean she's naturally bad at whatever the
holy magic.
But then there's three stars in that column.
Yeah.
Which makes it interesting. And then, of course, they have the finger pointing up that could be anything.
Not sure what that means. Yeah, that's in a few different ones.
Oh, yeah, growth goals. There you go. Sword and reason focus.
And you can also see, it looks like in the top right corner, there's some sort of aptitude scale. What is a smile?
Yeah.
So, like, maybe the more she likes you, the better she learns.
I think that's, like, energy or something like that.
Could be.
It could be sort of like a teacher-student relationship things, where, like, the stronger relationship you have with your students, like, the more effectively they
that's where you're getting
you
into the really controversial stuff.
Yeah, I hope it's
because
not too strong.
Particularly with how much the last few Fire Emblems have emphasized marrying people, the idea of giving you a whole bunch of students, people are just like, it's not as bad as the incest implications from Fates. That was really weird.
Yeah.
But I hope that your dating pool isn't your students.
Or at the very least, it's not, you're playing matchmaker and not getting involved yourself.
Yeah,
that's a little less creepy.
If they happen to get together, that's okay. Mm-hmm. But I hope that if your character marries somebody, that it's
a faculty member.
Or just anyone else.
Also more innocently just sort of be a morale thing.
Yeah.
That might be.
You know, like if they're building relationships with other students and people
around,
that
it'll
be higher.
Yeah. That's probably going to be in there, but I would be astonished if they drop marriage altogether.
Yeah.
Considering how much they seem to have adored it in the past couple games. Mm-hmm. If do not bring back children if you can't do it correctly, and nothing in this game indicates that there's a way to make children work.
Yeah.
Unless there's like
a
time jump.
It would be really weird to do it in a school game.
Yeah.
Please don't do it.
Apparently, I was actually doing some reading. This is embarrassing that we didn't know this, but there was a Fire Emblem game called The Genealogy of the Holy War. It's like the third one that came out, I think, or second or third one. And there was indeed a time jump. You jumped ahead like 20 years.
Oh, there you go.
And so you play with the children. That's the first game that had children. So it's been there a long time.
Yeah.
But unless you're doing something like that, don't do the Outroom film.
Yeah. It could just be that the story progresses past when everyone's like out of school.
Yeah.
You know, something happens, people aren't in school anymore. It's possible.
It's possible. All right, we're going to keep moving on.
Definitely have to be careful with it.
We're running out of time.
We are. So that used up our energy. So I think we can guarantee that that's just energy in the corner there. I appreciate your coaching, Professor.
Oh, there we go. Reason, faith, authority. So it was a leadership thing.
Authority.
Yeah. I'm paused at 356.
Okay, I'll jump ahead a couple seconds.
And acquire special skills.
I'll tell you when to go.
Such as horseman.
Yeah, so you can see that she actually has to train in heavy armor, riding, flying.
Yeah.
So, this makes it seem like the classes are super customizable.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. So, she has... Yeah, so you can see the goal list there. So, either she's given herself a goal, or we've given her the goal of train reason and faith.
Yeah.
Because apparently we want her to be a dual mage.
Yeah. This is a different person.
This is someone else in the corner now.
Yeah, who's just a noble. And so the thought is maybe noble is the new villager. Like, noble used to be a class.
Yeah.
But now it might just be what you are until you've decided what you're going to be.
Mm-hmm. It does look like there's a split between what you teach them and what you get them to teach themselves.
It does.
Which is interesting.
Yeah, there's a lot of depth here, I think.
All right, we should move on.
We'll keep moving. Check. To pick in faith as a custom focus.
Change
goal. Riding as a custom focus.
You have been entrusted with their future, and it's up to you to guide each of them and help them hone their abilities.
Whoa. Here we go. So there are classes.
Yeah, certification exams.
Okay. I'm at 408, by the way.
Okay, I'm at 409.
Yeah,
I was thinking, prepare people for a test, and then they take the test, and it's like, you're now a knight.
Yep.
Yeah. That might also be Harry Potter.
Yeah.
It's super duper Harry Potter.
I kind of want someone to take a test to turn into a dragon.
But you see, that would be great. But you see that she totally has the ability to be
anything.
Any of these, eight things? So it seems like, and that's a main character that we're looking at here. This is Edelgard.
Yeah.
So this is clearly a very customizable game.
Yeah.
Interesting stuff. I kind of want to look at the growth rates, you know?
Yeah.
Is it predetermined as a best route, or is it basically they are what you make them?
Yeah. Or if there are, some options. Like, some people are just always going to be crap at magic, so pick one of the heavy classes.
But it doesn't particularly matter which one.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can see it being, these people naturally are better at this, so, this is maybe where you should go, but if you really want to take them this other way, then you can
work it that way, too. Previous Fire Emblem games, you can force people into almost any box you want.
Yeah, particularly the most recent ones.
Yeah.
This is just a different version of it. Okay, let's keep moving on. Let's watch her actually complete an exam.
Experience and study.
There you go.
So you're literally writing an exam.
Their full potential.
And then, she passed.
Is that how you do class changes
now?
Maybe.
Can also
there's a great hall, there's food.
The academy.
And by doing so, their bonds will strengthen.
I swear, if there are house elves, I'm just going to lose my...
So, here's a boss. This clearly is not the final boss, but that was a boss there.
Yep.
A black beast. And then some sort of time manipulation thing that they just did there. So, originally, you got hit with that axe, you changed time, and you stopped it.
Yeah.
Then, once again, we threw all three of the new main characters together, clearly getting along. Forward,
now! But that explains...
I like how the NPCs look.
Three houses. Mm-hmm.
That's weird with a Hoyer bow, but okay.
Your very own journey.
We're just seeing a lot of generic story stuff right now. We don't know what makes sense.
Oh, that guy's evil.
Fire Emblem Three Houses will release on July 26th.
Which is a delay, by the way.
Yeah.
It was originally scheduled to be coming out in spring. Huh. And so it's got pushed back to July. But again, sure. Just
yeah, I'll take a good game over a rushed one.
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly. And like we can... We've given the example many times. We've talked about this so many times. But Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild was delayed by almost like 2 years. Does anyone remember the delay now? Like, it's going to be great forever.
No. Yeah.
But a rushed game like Mass Effect 3 is going to be bad.
Forever.
Forever. So just get it right.
Speaking of rushing, we have 2 minutes, so Apex Legends, go.
You know, we'll talk about that next week. Because we're still trying to wrap our heads around it, and maybe we'll actually play it. This one, I think, I have more of a chance of playing than Fortnite, because it's closer to Overwatch, which I did enjoy. What did you think, now that that's fresh in your brain, you've seen it, of that trailer, Adam, go?
Of this thing? I'm actually quite excited.
There you go.
So when you compared it to Assassin's Creed Odyssey, I was really worried, because Assassin's Creed Odyssey went away from Assassin's Creed in a way I did not like.
Only in that it's a departure from what it used to be.
But in this one, I'm like, okay, I'll give this a go. This sounds interesting.
Yeah.
So cautious optimism, which is a nice change.
Okay. Matt, what did you think?
I find all the customization stuff really interesting. I'm really looking forward to seeing exactly how you can sort of mold the students and what teaching will actually be like.
Yeah.
You know, if it's actually kind of like teaching or if it's just, you know, boosting stats and different things. But no, it has me intrigued a little bit, like hesitantly so, just because it is so different. But I think there's a lot of stuff that there's a lot of depth to it. So it's sort of tough to get a handle on, I think, what it's going to be right now. But I'm looking forward to it.
I like that there doesn't seem to be so much emphasis on you as a protagonist. Mm. Like, clearly, they picked you to do this because of whatever the heck happened to you. Mm-hmm. But everything's on, like, everything in that trailer was about the students and them getting better. And it's like, you can't single-handedly win this war. Like, Robin could, basically.
Yeah. This is going to be... Or less, especially like Corrin.
Yes.
Like, and Corrin had zero personality. I could say it with confidence because I'm replaying Fates right now. Corrin is... Yeah, why not? Also, one of the other things I saw in there, and we're truly deeply out of time, is that weapon durability is back.
No.
I kind of didn't miss it,
I didn't miss it at all.
Yeah, but it made sense they're going to be back. I'm cautiously optimistic, too. I like that it's going to be sort of a Harry Potter simulator. I don't mind that there's going to be more group dynamics with your students and more customization and all that kind of stuff. But I hope that there's a good war story in there, too, because that's what a lot of people are playing this for. And I'm hoping it's just that they didn't focus at all on it in this trailer, but it still exists.
Yeah.
That's my hope. All right. So with any luck, we'll be back to a regular time slot next week. But in the meantime, enjoy your reading week. Have fun playing games if you have any time in between studying. And we'll see you guys next week.